And we celebrate today, we have the privilege to celebrate here in St. Isidore's, the one of the first solemn high masses of Father Stephen Weber, and to which you can get an indulgence, a plenary indulgence, by participating in the Mass today. The epistle for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Romans chapter 8. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, that we should live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now you have not received a spirit of bondage, so as to be again in fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by virtue of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself gives testimony to our spirit that we are sons of God. But if we are sons, we are heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And the Gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke chapter 16. At that time, Jesus spoke to His disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, who was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, What is this that I hear of thee? Make an accounting of thy stewardship, for thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, seeing that my master is taking away the stewardship from me? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I shall do, that when I am removed from my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And he summoned each of his master's debtors, and said to the first, How much dost thou owe my master? And he said, 100 jars of oil. He said to him, Take thy bond, and sit down at once, and write 50. Then he said to another, How much dost thou owe? He said, 100 cores of wheat. He said to him, Take thy bond, and write 80. And the master commended the unjust steward, in that he had acted prudently. For the children of this world are in relation to their own generation more prudent than are the children of light. And I say to you, make friends of yours for yourselves with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Oh, Reverend Father Weber, Mr. Lillis, the dear faithful, a few considerations on this sacred day. It's a privilege for us to have a first Mass here in St. Isidore's. It'll be the first time that we've had a first Mass here in the new church. So it's a great privilege for any of us to be able to be here and to participate in the first Mass of a new priest. The future of our church is in Father Stephen Weber. And so his well-being is extremely important to every one of us. It seems that according to superiors, it is the will of God that he go to South Africa, which is not near Colorado. He should be going there in the near future. But of course, the society, things are subject to change constantly. So he might be stationed in Denver in the next couple of weeks. But in any case, at this time, he's going to be going to South Africa. But no matter where he does his apostolate, the work that he does as a priest is absolutely essential for us here in Colorado and throughout the whole world. Our church has no hope without new priests. There isn't any future. The world cannot continue without them. We know that in marriage there are little children that come from marriage. And if no one on earth ever gets married, the human race will cease to exist. But infinitely more necessary than marriage, infinitely more necessary. The world can live without marriage, perhaps. The world cannot live without the priest. A few considerations on the beauty of the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the power that is there, given by God Himself. A few years before World War I, It was a holy Irish priest by the name of Father Doyle. He would later die in the war as a chaplain. He devoted himself constantly to prayer. It was his special apostolate. One day he was walking from the church to the rectory. In fact, he had to walk from what church he was hearing confessions at a church that was far away from his own church, and he was walking to the rectory, which was on the other side of town. And as he was walking through the town in the middle of the night, he saw a young girl, around 20 years old, and it was the middle of the night, and he knew that this could not be good. He said a few words. "Isn't it late? Shouldn't you go home now? Do not hurt Jesus anymore." And then he walked to the rectory. He completely forgot about the incident. 3 years later, the police came to the door of Father Doyle. "There is a young girl on death row. She is going to be hanged tomorrow. She is in her early 20s. Her name is Mrs. Cranberry. She says she knows you." "I've never met the woman before in my life. I don't know what you're talking about." "Well, she says that she knows you and that it is of the utmost importance that she speaks to you before she dies. She would not speak to any priest previous to tonight. But she was involved with a murder, a poison case, and because of her participation in the murder, she is going to be hanged on the morrow." And so Father Doyle, not knowing the young lady, came to the place of the prison. He saw her, and she was sitting on the edge of her bed in the prison cell. And when she saw the priest come in, she said, "Oh, Father, I'm so happy to see you. Do you remember me?" "No, I do not." "Two or three years ago, you were walking down the street in the middle of the night, and I was a lady of the night. And you told me, 'Isn't it late? Shouldn't you go home now? Do not hurt Jesus anymore.' From the way that you said those words, I realized that I must stop my sinful life. And so I went home. And for about 3 months, I tried to stay away from sin. But after a period of time, I did not avail myself of the sacraments. The urge came back to me. I went back to the life of sin, and now I'm going to die tomorrow. And when I came here, I was determined to stand firm and to not bow to these requests for the priest. But this very night, I remembered the words that you spoke to me 2.5 years ago. And they changed my heart. I was never baptized. I wish to be baptized at your hand. I wish to be forgiven of all my sins. I am sorry for all my sins." And so that night in the prison cell, the priest with his sacred hands, the hands that you have the privilege of kissing today, poured the water of regeneration over her head. The next day, when she was going to be hung, Father Doyle walked beside her all the way to the gallows. She said, "I am so happy. Happy that our Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven me my sins. Happy that He has put me into contact with the priest of God. Without this brief contact, she is damned. There is a sacred power that God has put into the hands and into the mouth of a priest. We do not know why He has put it there, but He has. In His infinite wisdom, He has chosen that men, weak men, sinners, who are spoken of in the gospel today, the priest is the subject of the gospel today," says St. Jerome. "The first subject, the unprofitable steward. God, for some reason, has chosen weak men, sinners, to participate in the divinity itself, to be the instrument of God coming down to souls. A priest is a man taken from among men for those things ordained to God. And his purpose It is the same as our Lord Jesus Christ's purpose. When He came to this earth, He came to establish His kingdom. He came to bring souls that were eternally separated from God. That's all of us. He came to take all of us to the kingdom of heaven. He came to wage war against the devil. He came to conquer by bringing souls into the state of grace, bringing them into the church, bringing them to life. The priest is about the church. The priest is about life. The priest is about prayer. He is about all things that are necessary for our world to tick. And without it, there is no world. It cannot continue. And so it is a most sacred day for us here in St. Isidore's to participate in the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass of Father Weber. He's a weak young man, but in his hands there is power that touches divinity itself. These sacred hands will hold God between the thumb and the forefinger in only a few moments. And without God, there is nothing. And in His infinite wisdom, God has ordained that without the priest, we cannot be saved. It is important for each one of us. In fact, the priest cannot be saved without a priest. I must go to confession to another priest. I must be anointed by another priest. I need a priest for salvation. You need a priest for salvation. I need a priest for happiness. You need a priest for happiness. And so this is a most sacred day. There is great power that God has put into the words of the priest. This power goes for good or for ill. There was another priest whose name we do not know. But he had a young altar boy. And this young altar boy served his mass. And he dropped the cruets. And after the mass, the priest was so angry that he cursed and he swore at the altar boy. And he told them, if you ever drop a cruet again at my mass, you'll never serve here again. You can never drop a cruet again at my mass because you'll never serve again. You are a rotten boy. You are bad. Get out of my sacristy. You can keep coming to Mass, but you'll never serve again. That boy's name was Joseph Stalin. It is far-reaching, the words of the priest, for good and for ill. And so, Father Weber, you have become a priest. Firstly, your first duty as a priest is to preach. Preaching, says St. Thomas Aquinas, as I mentioned in the sermon last week and the week before. Preaching, says St. Thomas Aquinas, is active contemplation. It is the highest form of contemplation. And a priest cannot be said to preach unless he contemplates. It is the fruit of his contemplation and his prayer. For a priest to fulfill his duty as a preacher, it is necessary that he prays. And so prayer, in fact, is the first duty of the priest. It is not his greatest duty, preaching, but it is his first duty. And therefore, prayer is the first duty of the priest. There is only one command that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to his priests. Only one command that we know of, contained in all of the Gospels. And this command is given to them, to Peter, James, and John on Holy Thursday night. He said, would you not watch 1 hour with me? This was the requirement that he made of his priests. And so, Father Weber, we ask that starting this day, if you have not started already, that there not be a day that passes in your priestly life that you have not spent 1 hour with our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 hour in His presence, not including the Mass. One continuous hour. It is the only demand that our Lord Jesus Christ made to His priests. And from the fulfillment of this demand and living the life of prayer, God will give power. And He will make it possible for souls to be saved. The priest will be an instrument. But there is an important rule of the priest which is pointed out, says St. Jerome in the Gospel today. He is an unjust and unprofitable steward. He is not worthy of being a priest. Not worthy of being a caretaker of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no priest on this earth who is worthy other than our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so we must remember that we are unjust stewards. And because we are unjust stewards, we must follow the law of the unjust stewards. He teaches us how to become prudent. Prudence is the virtue of the priest, the virtue that he is supposed to practice, to be able to guide souls to the kingdom of God, to be able to guide them away from sin. But prudence cannot be practiced unless there is forgiveness. And that's what it states in the Gospel today. 100 cores of wheat, take thy bill and write down 80. It is necessary that as a priest, you will find as you travel through the priestly life that there will be many that attack you. There will be many enemies. There will be many troubles, many trials, and many tribulations. And there can be a temptation to the priest to become bitter and a temptation to become angry or to become stern and cold. And this temptation must never be given into. The priestly heart is the sacred heart. The sacred heart accepts wounds. The sacred heart does not attack. The sacred heart sacrifices itself for the salvation of souls. These vestments that you wear today, Father Weber, they were worn many times by Father John of the Cross. Father John of the Cross, so you may not have known him, just died this last Saturday. He was a man of constant suffering. His pain was always excruciating, but there was only one virtue that emanated from him, and that was the virtue of charity. He was always forgiving to those that were around him. As I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, after the death of Father John, he himself told me 3 weeks ago, he would very often, in fact, he would very often be in a great state of pain because of his back, his neck into great pain. And he needed to go lay down. And so Father Cyprian would send some monk, someone, to go take Father John to the bedroom so that he can go and lay down. And the person would forget and he would go off somewhere. Father John would stand around for 3 or 4 hours. And he spoke to Father John after standing around one of these bouts. He said, well, the person forgot. He is busy. He has other things to take care of. He never got angry. He never got upset. He always looked at the souls that were entrusted to him. It was frequently in the confessional. It is necessary to follow the example of priests like unto this. We are sinners. You will find that up until the time of your death, you will remain a sinner. It will always be necessary to beg forgiveness of God. But our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in the prayer that He taught us how to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And these words are especially meant for the priest. He will be judged more harshly on these words than any of the laity. Let anger never be a part of your priestly life. You will be generous to others. You will be hard on yourself. It is necessary to do that. God demands of you, Father Weber. He demands of you to strive to become a saint. Nothing less will do. And yet as you travel through this life, you will find that you remain a great sinner. And you will think that you are not moving forward in the spiritual life. confessing the same sins, trying to fight against the same weaknesses. But as long as we fight, the just man falls 7 times a day, it says in sacred scripture, but as long as we fight, God will give us the victory. You will learn faith. God will send you sufferings in your priestly life. These sufferings are to help you to understand the sufferings of the faithful. These sufferings are to help you to understand how to deal with their sufferings when they have their tribulations and trials. And though your tendency may to want to be in the background and to be quiet and to be peaceful, this is your general state, but when the rights of God are attacked, or when there is a tragedy, or when there is necessity, the gentle priest becomes a lion. As our Lord Jesus Christ did. No one was afraid to ever approach Him. But when it was time to drive the money changers out of the temple, no one dared to confront Him. Such was His power. And remember that your anger, which you will have to use, you know, the fathers of the church tells us that we have to use anger from time to time. But if you become angry frequently, your anger will have no power. It will do no good. But if you use the anger as that passion given to us by God to enforce justice tempered by mercy, then God will bless you. And so remember that we are unprofitable servants. And we are going to live the life of prayer, even though we are weak sinners and have a hard time saying our breviaries, a hard time making our meditations, a hard time doing our scripture reading and spiritual reading. These things we must never drop. You will not make a show of it. You will not do it always in the presence of others. But you must be done. And then lastly, today is a very holy day for Mrs. Weber, the mother of a priest. It is the greatest blessing that any woman can ever receive. It's a blessing that our Lord, that the Blessed Virgin Mary received. When you become the mother of a priest, you ladies, you become more closely related to the Blessed Virgin Mary than can ever be understood by us in this life. You will not fully understand it until you enter into the next life. You will stand in a special way next to her that other women will not stand. The sacredness of the mother of the priest. Remember the wise words of the mother of St. Pius X. When he was newly made a bishop, he went back to his mother and he said, "Mommy, look at my new episcopal ring." And she said, "Look, boy, if I didn't have this ring, you wouldn't have that one. So shut up." This is the wisdom of the church. The sacred union of the two rings. The ring of the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the ring of the sacred sacrament of matrimony. It is a custom. It was only 3 weeks ago, less than 3 weeks ago, and Father Weber, when he was ordained to the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, he put his hands together. The bishop folded his hands. His hands, after they had been anointed, firstly the bishop anointed his hands with the oil of catechumens, the oil of purification. The bishop folded his hands, showing that he is a man of prayer. And in case he should forget it, and the sacredness of those hands, which must never touch anything other than our Lord Jesus Christ, the holiness of the Mass requires celibacy. He will only touch the Blessed Sacrament. That is his one true love. And unless he forget, there is a white linen garment, a white linen cloth that is long and thin, looks kind of like a finger towel, and that is wrapped around the hands of the priest as he is newly ordained and tied so that he cannot remove his hands to remind him that he is a man of prayer, a man of sacrifice, especially the sacrifice of the Mass. who she is going to offer. It is a custom that at the death of the mother of a priest, this maniturgium, this white cloth, is wrapped around her hands as she is laid in the grave, to show the sacred connection between all the sacraments of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sacred union between all seven of these sacraments, but here especially between the sacrament of matrimony, which is the sacrament by which mothers are made. That's what it means. The man is tolerated to be there. Mr. Weber is allowed to be present. But it is her sacrament. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ was the son of Mary. So there is a sacred bond between Father Weber and his mother that is very similar to the bond between our Lord Jesus Christ and his mother. And so on the one side, though, as you become a priest, you separate yourself from your family. Remember that you are more sacredly united to your mother now than you ever were at birth. And it is a great desire of every mother to want to bring a priest into the world. The future of the whole world depends on priests more than it depends on marriages. So we pray for Mrs. Weber that she also become a greater saint now that her son is a priest of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Father Weber that he be faithful to his priesthood. We pray for all priests. Without them, there is no hope for our world. And I'm sorry for going on so long here. I'm the apostle against long sermons, but I'll make exceptions. Since we started late, we might as well keep the thing going. In any case, I'm going to close it at that. And God bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.